to the Simply His Coffee Shop, everyone. So excited to be back in studio today. We have a really special, amazing guest. He won't want me to say that, but Bruce Beelen is going to join us, and he has a long history with our family. We've known him since we moved here, basically, to Crane. He was actually the chief of police here in Crane, and then...
It's over a decade.
I know. Yeah, it's been at least that long.
Over 13 years now, yeah.
Absolutely. And we started attending his church, and actually, we were privileged and honored to have him dedicate our two girls, Kate and Juanita.
Yeah.
So that was really special that you got to be a part of that with us. But today we have you here mostly because I mentioned he was the chief of police in Crane, and so you've been a lawman as well as a minister. So that's kind of why we have you here today, is we're going to be talking about women's safety and things that you can do to help protect yourself. But before we go too much further, let me actually give you his bio. He's been a lawman for 45 years who has worked in patrol, criminal investigation, undercover narcotics, as well as serving as chief of police and deputy sheriff. He has taught in multiple police academies and acted as a private instructor of firearms, corporate and personal security, as well as consult on police procedures for media. He holds a degree in business from Evangel University and has also been in ministry for over 4 decades and has served as a senior pastor for over 25 years. Please help me welcome Bruce Beelen.
Yeah. Also was Johnny.
Yes, that is very true.
Yeah, so... I've been a criminal along the way.
Oh, that's right. He was Johnny in the Johnny Project.
Yeah,
right.
Tell him really quickly about Johnny and why you guys did that.
So this was probably 6 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But we came together and we had this vision to do a song, a music video. Mm-hmm. And you can look this up online. Just go to YouTube and type in Johnny Was a Criminal, mm-hmm. Joe Horn Band or whatever, and you'll see his face on the thumbnail. But the whole idea of the song was, it was a story of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That no matter what you've done, no matter what you've lived through, no matter what you've put others through or been through, that God always offers his redemption. So in the video, there's this character named Johnny, and it starts off, and he's a liar and a stealer, and he's peddling drugs to mm-hmm. pregnant women, and he's just a monster, right? But then his family continues to intercede. And actually, Bruce got us into the jail systems so that we could actually film a lot of this video inside the jails, which was really cool because it really gave the visuals that I was hoping for. But then, of course, Jesus mm-hmm. intercedes.
Yep. But
Amen.
Jesus.
And the video ends with him, you know, crying out to God for redemption. I cannot even tell you how many emails... But there was one woman that called the call center, and she just was undone.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
She said, this was confirmation. I've been praying for my son for decades.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This was God's way of telling me, don't give up. There's hope for him.
Oh.
So
no doubt.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that was a fantastic experience. God did some amazing things through that. And just like you, I still get comments and mm-hmm. on that video. It was great.
And by the way, we're now partnering with some individuals. They're now planning to help us get that DVD into the thousands, into prisons across the United States for these guys to watch.
Yeah. So.
Yay. That's great. Right. Kind of funny. We had Bruce on Return to Eden for an episode one day, and I had forgotten about what you did in that video. And you said, the last time I was in this building, I threw a beer bottle against the wall.
Yeah,
because that's something he does in the video. So.
Only actor.
Yeah. It was empty, but yeah, it was funny. Well, and we cleaned the glass up.
What I like about that story, though, is that Bruce actually had envisioned this all happening before it ever happened.
That was kind of one of another series of very miraculous things.
Mm-hmm. Confirmations.
I called Bruce, and I'll never forget, I was at my daughter Juanita's gymnastics class. And while she was, you know, doing her practice and doing her flips and things, hey, I'm going to take a minute now that I'm thinking about it. I'm going to call Bruce and tell him about this idea that I've got percolating called Johnny the Criminal, Johnny Was a Criminal, something about... And because God had been putting this vision on my heart to do a video like this to one of the songs that we'd written.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Bruce, and I didn't know what his reaction was going to be. He's generally supportive, but I didn't know if it was, sure, man, I can probably help you out, or, you know, let's talk this summer or what. And he just let me go for about 20 solid minutes. And I get to the end, and I'm like, and it ends, and your arms are up, and we'll try to get it into prison mm-hmm. ministries and all this stuff. And he says, You have no idea.
That's a pretty good invitation.
And then he reveals that God has, like, years before this conversation, specifically tried to get a GoPro. He was actually trying to do something like this before he and I were even friends. And different reasons, poor Bruce. Bruce and technology at the time.
About now?
Trying to produce a music video.
There was no way to dial the number on it.
Yeah.
A rotary camera.
Yes.
But anyway, we came together and he used his connections in law enforcement and the fact that he was very believable on screen. Man, in a different life, you could have been an actor.
Well, I still am.
My mother started this.
She told me many years ago, she said, Bruce, act right.
So there you go.
I've been acting right ever since.
That's funny.
So it works.
Well, we are here to talk about keeping us women safe and things that you've kind of learned. How do us women keep ourselves safe? What are some tricks that we can do to protect ourselves that you have found along the way?
Well, you know, there's a saying that an expert is a has-been drip under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that, do you?
Probably not.
Okay. Has been drip under pressure. An expert.
I gotcha.
Okay, sorry about that joke. Evidently, that's an old person's joke. Okay. So, but here's the deal. What happens is, as you do what I've done for the last 45 years, what happens is you see these patterns.
Right.
And then you begin to do the research with people much smarter than I am that have the time to sit around and keep numbers.
Right.
Okay. So I've divided it for today's presentation into about three categories.
Okay.
You know, number one is if you take a person, any human being in the United States, whether male, female, and you begin to draw circles around that person, over 80% of the women who are either abused, physically, sexually, harassed, stalked, is going to be someone who has been let in that inner circle.
I gotcha.
Okay. So the first thing that I want to tell every lady everywhere is watch who is in your inner circle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've been working criminal cases since the 80s, okay? And I cannot tell you how many times I've had to sit in a room with a young lady who has been hurt in some way by someone who they trusted with their life, whether it would be a spouse or a trusted person. I would just be very careful about who you let in that circle. And you kid me about technology earlier, okay, which is a good joke. But now I get so many calls, and I'm still active duty law enforcement. I still work cases. I'm leaving here today and going to work. But weekly I get a case where someone over the internet has met somebody.
Yep.
And gradually been sucked into a situation, sometimes their children. And guys, I want you to make sure you're tied into your kids, boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And I know this is about ladies, but just human beings. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think that pertains, though, because, like, I'm a mama of three girls and a son. So I'm super protective of what they're doing and what's coming into their circle.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be a physical circle now, Joe. It can be an internet circle or a technology circle without... Again, going deeply into it, I have worked some horrendous situations of young ladies who have not been supervised on their technology.
Their devices.
Their devices.
Yep.
And so they're sucked into a situation then they feel like they can't get out of.
Yep.
And then grown ladies, which I've worked in the last couple of years, who have been sucked in through finances, who are paying money now to keep images of themselves off the internet. So just watch that circle. That's going to be the 80%+ of the people that you're victimized by.
That's incredible. I mean, and you always have everyone say, well, that won't happen to me. But then Joe and I have watched, even with our kids and stuff, you know, different documentaries. Everybody said that on the show. I never thought this would happen to me. I never thought I would be the victim. I never thought. And it always starts there. So what are some things that we as women can kind of look for so that we don't become that soft target or become a target? What are things that we can look for in the people in our circle? What are some red flags that we can watch for?
Well, it's very interesting when you work, whether it's this case or any case, people do what they do over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Literally, if you wanted to know what I was going to have for lunch today, look at what I had for lunch this last week. Look at what I had for lunch this last month. I'm pretty mm-hmm. simple. Okay, but the reality is that if you want to know what I'm going to order in a Mexican restaurant, see what I ordered for the last five times. Mm-hmm. Fajitas. Okay. But the point is, people do what they do. And I'm not saying people can't change by the grace of God. You look at a person's past performance as the best indicator of what they're going to do next. And be very careful as you move into a relationship. Mm-hmm. Be very careful. A shoe salesman always sees people who need shoes. Okay. But the people that I deal with are people who have been done wrong by other human beings. Mm-hmm. Because people are the problem with people. Mm-hmm. We victimize each other. So look at the past. Past performance is a great indicator. And they never thought they would be sure. brought into that yep. situation. The second thing is, I don't live in fear. I don't live in fear.
Right.
Okay. But we were talking earlier about yeah. stuff. Every time I get into the car, I pray a lot in the car.
Yeah.
I pray a lot in the car. But guess what? I keep my eyes open. I really trust that God's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. But yep. I keep my eyes open. I drive and pray, and God doesn't mind at all.
Right.
Okay. And I look at where I'm going. So look where you're going.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep your eyes open. And some of those indicators for me would be past performance, but, you know, control is a big thing. Mm-hmm. When you deal with what kind of control issues do they have? Are they telling you what to wear? Are they telling you what to do? Because, you know, you talk about being free and being free of fear, but here's the deal. A lot of ladies live in bondage.
Yeah.
Because of this control thing. So look for control. Look at past performance. It would be a couple.
Okay. That's great advice. So just be watching and pay attention to those red flags. You have a gut. God will give you those little red flags.
I'd like to jump in if I could too and offer something. I'm okay with the fact that a lot of my kids, friends, think of my kids as paranoid. I don't actually believe that they're oppressed or living in fear. I actually think that Catherine and I have gone out of our way mm-hmm. not to create paranoid kids, but to open their eyes at ages when they can handle a little more. For example,
yeah,
my two older ones have seen the movie Silent Cry that we put out, The Darker yeah. Side of Trafficking.
Yeah,
that whole documentary spells out exactly what you're talking yeah. about, these little red flags, these little signs of control. If your 13-year-old daughter starts coming home from high school with a new purse, where did that come from?
Hmm. Exactly.
It could be that a sugar daddy has been grooming them through social media,
yes.
showing up at the school to buy them things, and yeah. for the first year has pampered them and made them believe that they're more loved than the parents
right.
have demonstrated to that teenager. So the uninquisitive parent wouldn't, Cindy Lou must have gave it, I don't know. She just comes home with things.
Right.
So that would be an example of parents not engaging with their kids right. to be suspect. Where did this purse
right.
come from?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe dig a little bit and find, well, you've been seeing this guy online. And this is, by the way, not just hyperbole or internet
no.
research. We actually have close friends
mm-hmm.
that have dealt with this personally.
Yes.
Where law enforcement has showed up to let them know, did you know that your child was being groomed by X, Y, Z?
Yes.
And the parents, who are good parents, simply had no idea because the child was concealing from them the fact that they had started this relationship online. Does that
yeah.
make sense?
Absolutely.
So it's one of those deals where my kids, as they've aged, when I think it's okay for them,
right. age
not to grow up with a fear complex, but age appropriate to let them know. So my kids, it's the funniest thing ever. My two older ones, they'll be walking through a room and they'll overhear part of a crime drama where one of the women is putting up with something, and my oldest will say, "Yeah, that'll happen." Like, he doesn't need daddy. I have all the confidence when my oldest grows up. We've said this.
Yeah.
I really don't live in fear that my oldest one will put up with a long-term abusive situation because
yeah.
she knows what love looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've always tried to affirm her as a person of value.
Right.
She's not going to deal with having her clothing decisions be controlled. And
right.
Does this make sense?
Absolutely.
So anyway, just thought I'd jump in with
well,
that.
Well, I lock my doors every night. Every
right.
night. But I'm not paranoid.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I have a 105-pound animal with big teeth, but I'm not paranoid.
Right.
I mean, I don't feed him much so that he likes it.
That's
a joke. Right, right, right. He's huge. No, but
animal rights people just pounce.
Yeah, no. He eats well. Anyway, but the point being is paranoia is not what I'm talking about.
Right.
Right. Right.
I'm talking about being aware of your surroundings.
Aware.
I'm talking
Absolutely.
About being aware of what your
and
children
being
are
alert.
Doing.
Yeah.
Allie, you had something.
Well, I just wanted to point out that femininity is not the same as being a doormat.
Right.
And a lot of women get this idea. A lot of times after something bad's happened, they'll look back and they'll say, I guess I saw the signs, but I didn't want to seem rude. Or I didn't want to seem angry at a level that wasn't worthy. Or for whatever reason, they get this idea that to keep their appropriate role as a woman, they're not allowed to stand up for themselves, or they've got to take this abuse of, or again, you see, how many times do you see a woman put in a compromising situation where something goes wrong because she didn't want to be rude? Be rude, you know, make a scene. Like one lady I heard of that was at a large department store, and a guy was following her through the parking lot, and she knew he was waiting for her to get busy loading the kids in the car so he could come up and do something. She didn't know exactly what. She just turned around and started screaming at him in the parking lot. And as you know, we don't typically think to do things like this because that's, you know, that's inappropriate to call a scene to yourself and make a big scene in the parking lot. Make a scene, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't afford to have that attention called to themselves if they've got something bad in their mind to do to you. So call attention to yourself. Call attention to that person. But we get so hung up on this idea that we have to be demure and quiet that we can't actually stand up for ourselves. And
Yeah.
Before we do go too much further, though, we do need to take a real quick break. We'll be right back.
Have erroneous Bible translations hijacked the women's empowerment movement started by Jesus Christ? Skywatch TV is proud to present The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection. When you order Reverend Donna Howell's groundbreaking book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, and Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's book, Dark Covenant, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Packed with mind-blowing information on the Western Church undergoing a dark transformation into a cult. In the amazing book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, Reverend Donna Howell uncovers the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in the New Testament that correct the record on some of the most misinterpreted scriptures in modern history in relation to women, their leadership role in the church, and helps you understand properly what Paul was responding to when the epistles were written. In The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, you will follow the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, the trouble verses in relation to the issue of women's leadership in the church. Discover what the original Greek nouns and adjectives meant in Paul's greeting orders, and meet the unsung heroines that Paul addressed as his co-workers in ministry, such as Phoebe, Priscilla, Junia, and several others. Reflect upon the women Jesus knew, both from Scripture as well as in person, and the groundbreaking permanent changes he made regarding their rights, their value, and their role in delivering his message to the world. Also included in this special offer, Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's shocking written expose, Dark Covenant, which details how the masses are being groomed to embrace the unthinkable, while leaders of organized religion make a deal with the devil. In this jaw-dropping book, you will learn how the church is being groomed to embrace the unthinkable in preparation for the enforcement of the mark of the beast, how the true body of Christ is being slowly positioned to be considered a public enemy, with the Bible labeled as hate speech and possibly soon prohibited, how much of Western Christianity has actually become a cult, and what the true body of Christ can do to survive the modern assault on Christianity. But that's not all. In this must-have collection, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Join Reverend Donna Howell, Allie Henson, and the Skywatch TV investigative team for this original four-part series on DVD. This eye-opening expose is an essential teaching tool that is already sending shockwaves through the Western religious establishment and is certain to help ready the true remnant of God with the tools needed to navigate the coming days of persecution. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Find out what Jesus truly thought of women's roles in the church and become equipped with knowledge and power to push back the powers of deception. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection, available now at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back. We are continuing our discussion with Bruce Beelen about women's safety. And during the break, Donna actually had a really fascinating question. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah. So I have a question about the balance between grace and redemption on one hand and being careful on the other hand, mm-hmm. because I know that there's a lot of moms that watch this show, and there's also a lot of young kids that are sitting next to their mom watching the show. And the question is this, there's, let's just say, Bob, the registered sex offender next door, and he's given his heart to the Lord, and he comes to church on every Sunday. And where yeah. is the balance between, I want to believe that Jesus has changed this man,
right.
but I also want to be careful. I don't want to judge him because of his past, but I don't want to be naive. I mean,
right.
how do you parse that?
This is not just a fictitious question that we drafted out of thin air. This is in part personal experience. I've actually been through this process where
exactly.
a church is trying to reabsorb someone
yeah.
who has gotten rededicated with God, but does have this past.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I know how I feel about it, but I want the audience to hear how you feel about it.
Well, and this is deeper than a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, because we all have feelings.
Right.
Sure.
But essentially, I've been exactly in that situation as a pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. If Jesus mm-hmm. is not our Redeemer, then who is?
That's
right.
Okay. And that's the basis of my ministry, because I have prayed in jail cells. I have prayed in police cars. I've prayed in church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've led people to Christ in convenience store. In uniform, outside of uniform. I've never worked anywhere where I can't talk about Jesus.
That's great.
I don't
right.
wear
and
a belt buckle.
And I'll tell you that's true.
No, that's true. We've
to know Bruce
it.
Is to know that.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
wear a belt buckle. I don't wear a special pen. I don't know it. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me to
yeah.
the people.
Sure.
Anyway, but the point being is this. Okay. You know, number one, that redemption is real. God's redemption of his people is real. Okay. But if we had a person that came in here and they were handicapped, and we said, well, you know what? You're just going to have to get up here on the stage by yourself. You have this handicap, but we're not going to make any kind of accommodations for you. You just got to get up here by yourself. We're not going to help you. Well, I want to tell you something. Everyone needs accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that you're talking about, not specifically a person, but a situation, let's take it off of sexual abuse. Let's put it on being addicted to chemicals. Whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever, do you bring that person in there? Do you have a beer party and expect them not to drink? No.
Right.
What we do is we hold them accountable for their problem and yet show them the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And it's exactly the same thing. And we don't persecute the sinner. I'm going to be in the jail later today talking to some people.
Yeah.
Okay. It's about a situation, but if the Lord comes up, he comes up. But the point is this, everyone is a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
We're
yeah.
all
yeah.
saved by his grace,
right.
his sacrifice.
Right.
On the other hand, my mom, being the deep theologian that she was, she said, you know, sometimes the birds fly around over my head, but I don't have to let them make a nest in my hair. We do hold people accountable. We do watch people. We do take care of everyone. And we take steps to make sure that people are safe.
To put maybe a word picture together that maybe accommodates what you're describing, my father, after doing this in the Assemblies of God for more than 25 years, said it was the hardest thing he ever did. Not build businesses and sell them and be successful as an author, none of that. Hardest thing he mm-hmm. ever did was pastor.
Yeah, it is.
For a combination of reasons, but, you know, a lot of people assume everybody else is praying for the pastor, so very few end up praying for the pastor.
Right.
It's just an assumption. He's Titanus. He's the pastor. He knows all the things. But there's the social aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody expects you to bury the dead and marry those that are just beginning their life together.
Yeah.
Every hospital crisis is your 12 a.m. phone call.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
For those soul-to-the-earth pastors that are giving their life to it, just right. know that our family highly appreciates
yes.
what you're
yes.
doing, because it is
absolutely.
It is amazing what you're doing in the lives of people and what you have to survive to be able to do it. And let's pretend that in some sad situation, Joe Horn is a senior pastor at some church that can't get rid of him, right? It's a sad state of affairs.
No, it's
Joe
not.
Horn is your pastor. What I think my mind would immediately do is I'm having a meeting with my board. And maybe I'm not giving up specific information that's not privy to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to put them on notice. We have a man. He's reemerging into our church. We want to show him love and grace, but he's not to be in restrooms by himself.
Right,
we
sure.
need somebody
right.
to shadow this person.
Right.
I don't mean stalk. I mean make sure that if this person signs up for nursery duty, that the answer is
right.
probably no.
Right.
And you may have to take this individual aside and we say, we love you, we're so glad you're with us, but there are going to be some limitations to how involved you can get in our youth program.
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely. And we don't want to broadcast that from the podium.
Right.
So please don't put us in a position where we have to make this more public. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm just spitballing here. I haven't put a lot of thought into this before this episode, but that's kind of what I imagine.
Right.
Is that unrealistic?
That is, but here's the deal. Accountability is for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's not just, unfortunately, doing what I do with my other hat on. Cameras.
Yep.
Accountability. No one being in a youth group by themselves anyway.
Right. Some of that's just good policy anyway. But yeah.
I mean, we've had some very high profile cases in this area.
Yep.
National profile cases that, you know, as you look back at those, maybe proper safeguards were not. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Absolutely.
So we do that with everybody. Just because people have not been identified doesn't mean they don't struggle somewhere.
That's
absolutely
right. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Donna and Allie talked about this in their book, Dark Covenant, that they put out last year, where they talk about over 40% of self-identified youth pastors, senior pastors, actively or occasionally would identify as a person who uses casually or quite often pornography.
Right.
So we already know the side effects of that, and it's progressive, and it's addictive, and it eventually torments and deranges the mind. And left unchecked, these people could be quietly, secretly becoming monsters and capable of all kinds of stuff that I'm sure you actually deal with on a professional level.
Well, on a history basis, if you go back to the 50s, 100 miles south of Little Rock, where I'm from, my grandfather accepted Christ probably in the 40s, began to follow a particular ministry, begin to be very involved in the church. And, I mean, now we're looking, was that 80 years ago? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to do the math, in the 40s or early 50s, before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
His pastor ran off with one of the kids in the youth group. And literally, he was married. I mean, she was 15 or whatever. And it devastated that community. It devastated what they were doing, the revival that was going on in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not a new thing. And if you read the Old Testament, you may or not, you know, some people read the Bible still. But if you read that, you'll see that that's not a new thing. It's human nature. What happens is they realize that they will be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we are completely out of time.
We got to do it again, though.
Yeah.
Need to. Yes. Don't you guys want to have...
Can we get Bruce back?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
So we will have Bruce Beelen come back and share some more with us next week. You won't want to miss it. We'll see you next time in the Simply His Coffee Shop.